Good evening, and welcome to Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. This week's Politically Incorrect podcast topic is Taming the Constitution. Who controls what? Brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Here tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of Dark Water, Game Over, and two-time delegate for Donald Trump to the Republican National Convention. Please help with a donation at donate.eamedia.online or by buying some bling at store.eamedia.online. Help keep the truth online. Once again, as usual, we like to thank some of our donors and our regulars, Lisa, Marcy, Stephen, Greg, and Anthony, Reverend Dave, and of course, Marilyn shows up every week. My daughter's always in there too, but that's a given. Hi there. And all those who listen to this offline as well. So we're going to start and open it up with a prayer as we always do. Heavenly Father, we pray in your heavenly, glorious name, protect us, protect our friends, protect our family, to see this nation on a path straight and true. That we know and understand your ultimate goal. And we follow your path and trust in you. Pray these things in your name, gracious, glorious name. Amen. So tonight, topic is on the Constitution. We call it Taming the Constitutions. That's plural. And who controls what? Because there's more than one Constitution. For every state, there's a constitution, and for our nation, there's a constitution. Sometimes they conflict, and sometimes they don't. So that's the topic for this evening. We're going to get into that in a minute. Now, it's an interesting story. People ask me, how do you survive these times? I've been through some rough times. Been through some easy times. Seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. I always say, follow the path of the Lord. I always prayed to God. And I found something out. I learned something just the other day. The old adage is true. Watch what you wish for, because you may just get it. But I saw a mini miracle in action that my listeners know. When our little guinea pig started to squeak and squawk in terrible pain for almost 2 days, poor thing wouldn't eat. It was in agony. Its eyes were glossing over. And I felt really bad about this poor little guinea pig and his pain. And it looked so sad. You know, I have more sorrow and pity and empathy for these little fellows, for these little creatures that don't know any better. And I prayed and I cried and I prayed to God to put this little thing out of its misery, to stop its pain. I told him how much we loved this little animal. And the little guy seemed to understand what I was saying. He quieted down while I was in prayer. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't drink. I walked away. I was working that day. I worked from home. Came back about lunchtime. This was in the morning. And came back about lunchtime. I didn't hear any squeaking. I thought, oh, well, I guess God took care of that. Here he is with his head up looking for food. Piled on a pile of berries. He ate every one of them. Now, here's the irony, though. I prayed that he's out of his misery. And to this day, which is 2 days later, the little fellow is cheery. He's smiling. He's looking for food every morning. But he's paralyzed. The vets think maybe he had a stroke. But you know, I got that prayer. That's the cool thing. And the little guy is happy. He doesn't care that he can't move. And maybe he'll get cured yet. Maybe God will see fit. But if you don't call that a miracle of 2 days of suffering and pain and praying in tears to the Lord and having your prayers answered, there aren't a lot of miracles. But I learned that the trick is you need to pray for the things you get and are given more than for the things you want. Because when you can't pray for the things you want, because we have a very humorous God. Anybody who hasn't seen the movie Dogma, there's one you need to watch because it's so true. God has a sense of humor, that's for sure. And God will show you that you need to take your power and your will and put it to good use. And then thank him later for it. But anyway, that's my 2 cents for the night. I'm in a very good spirits because of that. And just in general, no matter how bad our nation is suffering, no matter how bad I wish I had a different president in the office right now, for some reason, my spirits are high and I'm happy. And I hope that everybody out there can feel my happiness and my glory. Because just to have something like that, to see a prayer answered that quickly is just unbelievable. And I was telling I just see my friend Philly Mike coming in there. Good evening there, Mike. We were just saying that I had a prayer for our guinea pig. You probably saw him on Facebook. And I prayed and prayed and prayed that this little guy would be out of pain. And within 4 hours, I went to work, came back at lunchtime, and the pain was gone. And he was eating again. And praise the Lord. It's a miracle. It's just an absolute phenomenal miracle. It's just absolutely, absolutely unbelievable. You know, God bless him. And just to be answered that quickly. And absolutely no pain whatsoever. He's eating again. He's doing his normal business. Like I was telling the other folks earlier, he's still got some issues to get through, but he's not in pain anymore. On to the topic of the night. The topic of the night again is taming the constitutions. And everybody says, well, what do you mean constitutions? Well, you have your state constitutions and you have your federal constitution. Why do you have that? See, a lot of people don't realize what's going on, especially in this day of social media and censoring. We're going to look at the Constitution, the First and Second Amendment in particular. We're going to look at it from the perspective of the censoring on social media. We're going to look at it from the point of things that they do on the streets as far as peaceful protests and how there's a lot of them are stymied. What are the rules? What are the laws? And you'll learn that the Constitution provides a lot that we're not getting the benefit from. And the biggest thing to remember is Amendment number 10 of the Constitution that states the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Now, there's a lot in there. There's a lot in that one paragraph. In fact, it's one sentence. What that's saying is that the Constitution is the law. And anything that's not in the Constitution can be delegated by the states, hence their own constitutions. But the part where it says not the powers are not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, okay, and not prohibited to it by to the states, or reserved to the states. Now, that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't realize it. In Pennsylvania, where I live, we have a mandate, and in most states, there's a mandate for emissions controls on automobiles. Now, emissions controls on automobiles is not illegal to mandate that. But the federal government, the federal constitution, I guess the crux of the whole thing to remember, this is the whole meat of the Constitution, is that the federal Constitution controls federal activities and federal government activities. Hence why Joe Biden can say we're going to give everyone a $15 minimum wage, but it's only for government employees and government contractors that work for the government. Because the President of the United States cannot dictate the minimum wage for the states. not in the Constitution. They don't have authority over it. Same with the states. The states can control certain things as long as they don't violate the Constitution. Now, there are laws that are created too. Now, laws in some instances usurp the Constitution, in which case they can be overridden by the states. Hence the legalization of marijuana in many states, despite the fact there's federal regulation against it. The Constitution has no regulation of illicit substances. In fact, it had to add the illicit substance alcohol in the 1930s because it's not in the Constitution. Then they rescinded that. There's no constitutional amendment that says you can't smoke marijuana. You can't sell marijuana. But there's a rule, there's a law, the federal government. But because it's not in the Constitution, the states can override that. Technically, the federal government could still come in and take charge over certain aspects of that. Certainly, you cannot use the federal banking system. One of the joys of cryptocurrency is that the federal government doesn't rule cryptocurrency, and a lot of drug trafficking money goes through cryptocurrency now because it's not regulated by the federal government. If you're in the marijuana business, whether you're a legal dispensary or you're growing it legally for medicinal or for pleasure, you can't have a bank account. You can't file the IRS tax. You can file a state tax if it's legal in your state. Go figure. Again, because the federal government can only regulate federal entities. Now, how does the federal government say you have to meet certain emission standards in your state? They don't. There's no law, there's no regulation, there's no rule or edict that says you have to have emissions controls on your vehicles and have annual emissions inspections. Bet some of you didn't know that. No, the federal government came in and jackbooted the states. They took our money, our tax money. They went to our governors and they said, you're going to have emissions controls. You're going to meet certain standards. The governor said, no. He said, no, you're going to do that. You don't have to, but if you don't do that, we're not giving you any of your road money. None of your highway funds. Boy, I don't even want to go there. But not a law. It's not a law. It's not a mandate. But you got to follow it or you get smacked. So, let's look at the social media and the censoring of our First Amendment rights. And again, we're going to go look at the First and Second Amendment primarily. We'll go further and we'll look at the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers. Everybody gets bored. It's like 5,000 pages of these Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers, and they read like a church sermon on a Sunday morning. All you're doing is waiting for that potluck, right? But I mean, they are dry. They are incredibly dry, and they have no positive in the end, other than the fact that you've learned the thought process of the founders. So if you look at, the federal government and the federal constitution and state constitution sometimes overlap. For instance, in the Pennsylvania Constitution, you've got the right that all men are born equally free. I wonder when they're going to change that to all humans or all people. All men are born equally free and independent and have certain inherent and indefeasible rights, among which are enjoying and defending life and property, of acquiring, possessing, protecting property and reputation, and of pursuing their own happiness. So this is the Pennsylvania Constitution. You have the right, the indefeasible right to defend life and liberty. That's an interesting thought when you come to the Second Amendment. You have the right to acquire, possess, and protect your property and reputation. and of pursuing your own happiness. Now, that a lot there's a lot in that section. That's section one, Pennsylvania Constitution. So you have the right to protect yourself and your reputation and to pursue your happiness. Doesn't seem that way anymore. Of course, it has the right to religious freedom, which is similar to a federal constitution. Then you've got the right to bear arms. Now think about Pennsylvania for people who live in Pennsylvania. The right of the citizens to bear arms in defense of themselves and the state shall not be questioned. Is there? Am I stupid? Tell me, folks, seriously, am I stupid? Or is that just simple, plain English? Do you have to be an attorney to interpret that one line? The right of the citizens to bear arms in defense of themselves and the state shall not be questioned. I don't know. I'm not an English teacher. I do write books, but I'm not an English teacher. I don't have a PhD in that, but I sure as hell think that's pretty clear. Not a lot of ways to interpret that. All right, on to the topic. Where do you have the right to speak? So we know that municipalities, even government land is really interesting. When I was running for the Congress and we had our rallies for our Patriot rallies, we had more trouble getting into a little county park to have a rally than in getting into a government facility like the Liberty Bell or Gettysburg. They're free and open, and they're free. They don't charge you. So easy to get in. And yet you need permits and you need, all kinds of stuff to have it inside a municipality. It's crazy. State-owned land and county-owned land is even worse. And then you talk social medias. Now you have to figure this out. People have said that, you talk about Facebook and Twitter, Instagram. And the far left is going to yell at you. Oh, they're private businesses. They can do what they please. Not so. And at some point, this is going to come out. I'm actually working on a class action suit. I'm waiting to hear back from two attorneys. Everybody's gun shy of these things anymore. But even the Democrats are getting upset with the social media. And their quote fact checkers and their unwritten policies. They're in violation of the Constitution. Oh, no, they do not have the right to abridge your freedom of speech. Let's jump back to a real life scenario of a corporate owned town in Alabama. Pursuant to Marsh versus Alabama. 326 U.S. 501, 1946. Was a group promoting religion. I believe it was the Jehovah's Witnesses. In a company-owned town, a business-owned, a private town, basically. Like a coal mining town for those in Pennsylvania. Or Virginia. Everybody knows the coal mining towns were owned by the company. This is the company story and all that. And yet, the decision Marsh versus Alabama concluded basically that when you are in a public place, a place where the public generally can go, free of charge, can pass through as they wish, open to the public, None of your constitutional rights changes. You're no longer considered private. Now, if you have a private club, if they would say take Facebook and only allow people with a username, password to pay an annual dues, had a set of rules and regulations on what you could do, then they could control what you say on it, control what you do on it, to a certain extent. There still are liberties and freedoms that are attached to it, even when they do that. But it's a free road. It's a free passage. It's a free town. You can walk in free. You're a free person, and your rights hold up. The first consensus that they came up with that was passed in 1946, that a state cannot consistently with the freedom of religion and press guaranteed by the First and 14th Amendment impose criminal punishment on a person for distributing religious literature on the sidewalk of a company-owned town contrary to regulations of the town's management. Where the town and its shopping district are freely accessible to and freely used by the public in general. Even though the punishment is attempted under state statute, making it a crime for anyone to enter the premises of another having been warned not to. So even if they put up a sign that says, you can't solicit, you can't praise the Lord, you can't speak your political view, can't do it. Can't do it, even in a private town or private community. Keep in mind that Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter are just private communities open to the public. Whether a corporation or municipality owns or possesses a town, the public in either case has identical interest in the functioning of the community. See, now you have identical interest in functioning of the community. You are part of that community in such a manner that the channels of communication remain free. People living in company-owned towns are free citizens of their state and country, just as residents of municipalities, and there's no more reason for denying them the liberties guaranteed the First and 14th Amendments than there is for curtailing these freedoms with respect to any other citizens. They conclude in this Supreme Court case, when we balance the constitutional rights of owners of property, think Facebook, against those of the people who enjoy the freedom of press and religion, as we must hear, we remain mindful of the fact that the latter occupied the preferred position. That's us. As we've stated before, the right to exercise the liberty safeguarded in the First Amendment lies in the foundation of free government by free men. We must, in all cases, weigh the circumstances and appraise the reasons in support of any regulation of those rights. In this case, the circumstance, the property rights of the premises where the deprivation of liberty were involved took place were held by others, then the public is not sufficient to justify the state's permitting a corporation to govern a community of citizens so as to restrict their fundamental liberties and the enforcement of such restraint by the application of a state statute. Insofar as the state has attempted to impose a criminal punishment on this appellant for undertaking to distribute religious literature in a company town, its action cannot stand. The case was reversed. Now it goes on. I'm not going to read this whole thing, obviously, but it goes on with the basic conclusion that where the public meets, where the public has free passage, that's God's free space. That's the free space of the government. That's a free space of the nation. you want to put a fence around it, you want to put up razor wire, block it in, like they're doing down in our Capitol building, go for it. Now it's a private property with only limited admission. But you cannot suppress the First Amendment just because you're Facebook or Twitter or any of the others. The Constitution holds in any public place free public entry, regardless of whether it's a real environment or a virtual environment. There's so much violation of our great Constitution and our great United States to the point where we almost have no recourse. Then take a look at the 2020 elections. Do not the people, do not the states have the right to hear their case? Do not the states have the right to their day in court? Is it 25 states, 24 states insisted that the 2020 elections be reviewed? No one said overturn the election. I wouldn't say that. I don't know for a fact what went on in 2020. The court cases that were started by the state of Texas and others soon tagged along, it was deemed that they were not directly affected by the other states that they were challenging, like Pennsylvania and Georgia and some of the others. But doesn't the ultimate outcome of a federal election, a nationwide federal election for president, doesn't that affect every state? Why in the hell wouldn't the courts hear the cases to tell Texas that it doesn't affect them? They're not affected by it. Idiots. And we have so-called conservatives now on that stupid on the Supreme Court. What idiots. You know, they complain about the riots, the Capitol riots, and I don't condone any of the violent action by anybody. But they condemn the actions on January 6th. And it was so simple to prevent that. The Supreme Court and the states could have prevented the gathering, let alone the riotous acts that occurred. They'd do one thing. All they had to do was one thing. Listen to the case and investigate any allegations of fraud. I don't know how anybody can object to that. They wonder why the Trump supporters got mad and stormed the Capitol. Our very rights to a fair and fair trial have been challenged. Our constitutional rights to be heard. And that they blame the Trump supporters. They blame the conservatives. The conservatives blamed the Trump supporters. And you know, like I said, I don't condone violence. But anybody who lives in these United States of America has to realize that we're only here because of violence. That the very letter to the King of England states that. that we fought for the rights in the Civil War. People complain about the Confederates, but all they were doing was fighting for what they believed in versus what the North believed in. And the very Constitution that we so love and cherish states that, and the Declaration of Independence states that when your government usurps their right and takes yours, you have the right to go against them. Well, how do you go against them? With pens? Words and pens don't work. We've seen that. Now, I'm the kind of funny person myself. I like a challenge. This Biden administration is definitely a challenge. I think we should all be up to that. We should learn from it. Because I was hearing some great interviews on actually RT American and on another channel from comes out of not Press TV, one of the other ones that comes out of the Middle East. And not only is the world upset with the situation right now, but a lot of the black population is upset. They're saying that the jobs, the very jobs that Joe Biden took away on, you know, the pipeline and the coal mining and a lot of the other things, who they affect? They affect the minority population. They affect the poor. They don't affect the rich people in California, in Silicon Valley. They're starting to wake up and realize that the very policies, the very policy of trying to change the world is not helping the minority populations. So I think things are going to change. And the funny thing too is that under this new Biden administration, now what happens when Biden decides to leave or they throw him out is a different story. But it's funny because the Iranians were saying that they were hoping more from Biden, that they would like get the free play and get the nuclear deal back and get their economy back, get the sanctions taken off. Now they're mad. What has Biden done? He's enhanced. He's not just maintained, but he's enhanced the Trump policies against Iran. The Chinese are the same way. Joe Biden said, "No, we're not imperialists. We're not colonists. We're not colonialists or whatever. We're not America first. We're the whole world first." What does he do? In one of his first speeches, he says, "We have to make America number one. America has to beat China." That's my own words, but that's basically what he said. His goal is to sanction China more. Bring back the industry, just like Trump wanted to do. Isn't that funny? Now, a lot of stuff they turned away, and a lot of stuff is done just for show. See, there are a lot of things. You've got to realize the federal government, again, has no control over certain things, or very little control. They do things for show. Joe Biden and the Democrats, Kamala Harris, promised their constituents they would do certain things. They're going to put in gun control. They're going to take away our assault weapons. They're going to ban them, just like Joe Biden did in 1996. 10 years we suffered with that ban. But they don't do anything. What they do is they know they can't get it through the Senate. They can't change the filibuster. See, if the Democrats, for those who don't know what the filibuster is, it's under certain situations the Senate can say you require a 60% vote on controversial issues. It only takes one person to demand the filibuster. You can't get 60 votes or 60% of the vote now because you only got one vote over majority. You know, you got a 50-50 split, and he got one vote, the vice president. So what do? They put all these wonderful, terrible laws in place that violate our free speech rights, that violate our religious rights, violate our Second Amendment rights. They know they won't pass. But then they can go on and go, bad, bad Republicans wouldn't pass our laws. Then they hope to win the Senate in 2 years and win back, you know, and keep the House. It's a great plan. It really is, especially since they're going to have about, by 2022, they're going to have about 15 million new voters coming from Argentina and Venezuela and Mexico. Who are they going to vote for? The guy that put up the fence? Or the one that opened the door? Oh, the plan's been in there all along. Plan has been there all along. But they're limited. They're limited by what they can do. Just like Trump was limited. Trump had to cheat to build that wall. He had to take away funds from the war effort and bring people back to save the money from the war effort. Oh, now they're getting mad over in the Middle East. Afghanistan wants us out. They're mad. So the other thing they look at is the things like the health care bills they want to pass, the Obamacare bills, the quote Affordable Care Act. And they went through and passed it through the Senate. No, in the days of Obama. And it got turned away. And why did it get turned away? Because they wanted to tax us. They couldn't tax us because Section 7 of the Constitution, where all bills for raising revenue shall originate in the House of Representatives, but the Senate may propose or concur with the amendments as on other bills. And they did it in the Senate instead of the House. So it's illegal. The funding was illegal. And that's what Donald Trump took away, was the funding for the Affordable Care Act, which now Joe Biden wants to put back. So if you don't have insurance, you're going to pay thousands of dollars a year again. Illegally. Can't do it. See, now the other thing that's interesting is certain things. The other thing, thanks to Mike, great comment, appreciate it. The other real problem we have is crossing state lines. You see, that's where a lot of the issues come in. If you'll notice, you can have a law that says that marijuana is illegal and is legal rather in Colorado, but Nevada can't share that law. Why? Because as soon as you cross state lines, you've got interstate commerce. And interstate commerce is covered in the Constitution as being able to be regulated by the federal government. Fascinating. Now, let's take that a step further. Healthcare, Affordable Care Act, insurance. Why do insurance companies not cross state lines? To avoid federal regulation. Why does the SEC control all of your investments? Because it crosses state lines. See, once it crosses a state line, it can be taken over by the federal government. Once you cross a state line doing something illegal, it becomes a federal matter. The FBI gets involved. Anything that crosses a state border becomes federal, whether it's electronically or physically. So that's how we end up with the affordable or unaffordable, if you like to call it that. I call it the Unaffordable Care Act. Because that insurance, that the bill that they put in crosses over state lines, state borders. Whereas insurance does not, which is why the insurance industry doesn't like it, because they have to still be regulated in their own states. They can't take a piece of that whole pie. They have to get regulated in each state and stay within state borders. So there's two sets of constitutions, two sets of rules, and the problem is that those rules do not apply equally in every state. We all know that. Motor vehicle regulations are different in every state. Laws in general vary from state to state. And that's where a lot of the problem comes in these days. So there are a lot of issues going on that are affected by the limitations of the federal government, which is good, but it's also bad. But more so by the governors who refuse to abide by the Constitution and the rules set in place by the federal government. Case in point, the swing states that took it upon themselves to enact laws. Now, you might say, like in Pennsylvania, there was an old, back in the 30s, they gave the legislature, the state legislature, the power to work with the elections to change election law. I don't know if that was ever rescinded. So in the case of Pennsylvania, the legislature changing the laws at the last minute for the elections might actually be legal. Because even though the Constitution says that the legislature has to approve any changes to the laws, if the legislature blanket approves the Secretary of State and governor to change those laws, it may end up being legal in court. Something a lot of people don't think about. But anyway, I'm going to leave the topic for another day. We're going to approach this again and look at what the original founders thought of the Declaration of Independence says. There's a lot in the Declaration of Independence. You know, it's not a federal law, but it was the founders' will in writing that letter to the King of England. Those founders were saying what we really, really believe. And we're going to give this one last shot. This is going to be my final piece here. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Now, let's look at that first sentence. We hold these truths, which follow, to be self-evident. What does self-evident mean? Not unquestionable. A stupid person would know it. A person with no education would understand them. Self-evident. Automatic. That all men are created equal. Now, all men are created equal. So why do we suddenly need black rights, gay rights, women's rights even? If all people are created equal, isn't that de facto? And it says that in the Constitution as well. That they are endowed by their creator. Oh my goodness. Where does God come in here? My goodness. They were endowed by their creator. This was the founders. With certain unalienable rights. Unalienable. Can't be moved, can't be budged, can't be changed. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. With the right of the people to alter or abolish it. And to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. God, I can read that 1,000 times. This was our founders. Anyone that says that this is not how we were born and created of this nation Better start reading the documents of our historical documents. Better start listening to them. If you're going to be in that, sitting in that Congress on that floor or be in that White House, you darn well better listen to what the founders set forth for us. And we have every right to eliminate that entire system by any means possible when that fails. Again, my final statement for the evening. I will tell you one thing, just to mention for everybody, that the tax for the federal tax deadline has been extended to the 17th of May. But don't get too excited, because you still have to file your state taxes in most states by the 15th of April and your county taxes. Just wanted to let you know. Oh, one more very important thing for anybody that is out there that's not registered as a Republican or Democrat or one of the major parties and wants to vote on any of the rules. We have a lot in Pennsylvania coming up and in some other states. If you want to vote on those rules, a lot of people don't realize that just because you're not registered as one of the major parties, you can still go in and vote for those questions, regardless of, long as you're registered for any party. If you're an independent, you can go in and vote for those questions. Pass that around, let people know, because a lot of people are not aware of that. With that said, I'm going to go have some supper, folks. Yeah, it's almost 11 o'clock in the evening. That's my supper time on a Thursday night. A lot of preparation. A lot of people don't realize what it takes to put together a podcast or a show like this. There's a lot of pieces to the puzzle. And I don't like seeing my guests fall asleep. So it's a lot of work involved, and dinner comes late. Everybody stay safe, stay happy, stay healthy. Stand by what you believe in, and God bless every one of you. Thank you for coming by, and thanks for listening if you've listened to this offline. Have a great evening and a wonderful week. We'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.